Thank you. And with that, I'd now like to introduce Dr. Chris Greer, who will be setting the context for today's workshop. As I mentioned, Chris is the director of the National Coordination Office that supports the Subcommittee on Networking Information Technology Research and Development. This is a subcommittee of the Committee on Technology, which is under the White House Office of Science and Technology. Just real pleased to have Chris joining us, and he is a strong proponent and very committed to the principles and challenges that we're discussing today. Thanks.
Thank you, Susan, and welcome, everybody. I'm really pleased to see the turnout today. As Susan mentioned, this is an area that's very important to me personally, and I hope that this workshop will be a watershed moment for the NITER program in that regard, and I'll explain a little bit more about that through a set of slides. But first, I want to thank Susan Turnbull and Susie Iacono and Frankie King for their leadership in putting together this workshop. And, of course, Nikia Bell and Angela Carter, who provide staff support for this activity. And so first, a little bit of background about the NITER program, which is one of the sponsors of this series. The program was established by legislation, the High Performance Computing Act, the Next Generation Internet Act, and the America Competes Act. And it has a mission of coordinating the $3.5 billion in federal spending on networking and information technology research and development. There are 13 core agencies in the program, and those are listed up here on the slide so that you can see them. There are also a variety of other federal agencies that actively participate in the NITER program and in workshops such as this one. This is an organizational chart, so you can see what Susan was referring to. The NITER subcommittee here is this, in the center, is this group of 13 federal agencies. So the subcommittee is one representative from each of those agencies. It sits underneath the Committee on Technology of the National Science and Technology Council, and that's sort of its reporting relationship. I'm the director of the National Coordination Office here, which supports the activities of the NITER subcommittee. And at the bottom, you can see there are eight different program component areas, such as high-end computing, cybersecurity and information assurance, human-computer interaction and information management, networking, high-confidence systems, software design, and then the group that is responsible for organizing this workshop today. And you'll hear a little bit more about the SEW group from Susie Iacono in just a minute. I want to talk specifically about this group here at the upper left of this slide, the President's Council of Advisors on Science and Technology, since their assessment motivates a lot of what follows. This council was established under, or continued under, Executive Order 13226, and it advises the president directly and is comprised of distinguished individuals from industry, from the education community, and that's a very important factor here, and from research institutions and other non-governmental organizations. The PCAST was charged by the president with assessing the effectiveness of the NITER program, and this is their report, which was released just over a year ago now. And I want to talk about some of the findings from that report. And for that purpose, I borrowed some of their slides here. And so this slide is a summary of the NITER program assessment. And the general finding was that in the past, the NITER program has effectively balanced its mission with the agency's needs, but recognizes that the global networking and information technology landscape as a part of society as a whole is changing rapidly, that picture is changing dramatically, and that the NITER program will need to evolve to be effective in response to that change. And one of the major changes that they've recommended is this first recommendation on this list, the development of a strategic plan that provides an overarching vision of the NIT challenges to our country. And so it's that that has driven my strong interest in education, in seeing that education is the centerpiece strategic plan. And so the PCAST envisioned three areas that need to be encompassed in the strategic plan. Education and training is first and foremost amongst those. The structure of the federal portfolio, making sure it's balanced, and the ability to prioritize amongst that $3.5 billion in spending. But with respect to education and training, they highlighted this point, that a necessary condition for success of this ecosystem is a sufficient number of properly qualified NIT professionals. And I think this story is a little more complicated than that, and so I'm going to give you a quick slice of some very highly selected statistics. Mark is going to give you a much more comprehensive and insightful view. So this is sort of a warm-up for that talk here in a minute. And on this slide, on the vertical axis, is the number of researchers per thousand employed workers, or FTEs in the workforce. So it's a measure of the research intensity of the workforce. The higher up you are in this axis, the more research intensive your overall workforce is. And in this analysis, this is from the OECD Program on International Student Assessment. The United States is about fifth overall in terms of research intensiveness of the workforce. But on the horizontal axis is a measure of the preparation of students for science. That's the performance at the highest levels on the PISA science assessment. And you can see the United States is in the middle of the pack in this regard. And so quality is an important issue in NIT education and training. This is from the Science and Engineering Indicators report. Again, Mark will talk more about this. This is one selected graph from that shows this numbers issue that PCAST brought up, that the number of S&E occupations in the workforce is going up, not just the number, but also the percent of the total workforce. So as a fraction of the total, the need is increasing in the U.S. workforce on a significant basis. In contrast, this is from the Talby survey for the years 1998 through 2006, shows a total number of newly declared computer science majors, or median per department in the dotted line, both curves giving the same story, and that is as undergraduates arrive in college and begin selecting their majors, over time, fewer and fewer of those folks are prepared to select computer science as their major. So this is a significant pipeline issue. This is straight out of the PCAST report and reflects their concern about numbers and balance. And there are a couple of issues that are apparent here. On the vertical axis are the number of degrees, and then year across the bottom there from 1996 through 2005 in this bar chart. The lowest segment of that chart are U.S. citizens who are male, next is U.S. citizens who are female, non-U.S. citizens male, and non-U.S. citizens female. And you can see over time that there are two things here that are going on. First, the increase in the number of computer science doctorates awarded is largely due to an increase in the number of non-U.S. citizens receiving degrees over this time. And so the growth is not in U.S. citizens receiving doctorates during this period. The second is that there's a gender imbalance in computer science doctorates, and that is not getting better over time, as you can see in this chart. So those are two really important educational challenges. And so this gets back to the PCAST concern about this business on global competitiveness, that we live in a global society, and that other nations have certainly recognized the value and are investing resources in preparing their own citizens to compete in a global network and information technology economy. So I would suggest that the challenge to you as managers of education programs is more complex than just numbers. It includes this business of ensuring that the current generation is capable of using networking and information technologies effectively in their day-to-day lives. And that's a never-ending project because the current generation constantly changes and the technology landscape changes with it. To empower the next generation, not just to be there, but to innovate, to create the next generation and remain at the leadership of these technologies. To promote the use of these technologies in education and learning and to their best value. And that is not just to borrow technologies from the commercial sector and adapt them for application in education, but to grow them in the education environment, to develop these technologies by, for, and of education. And then finally, the social aspects and behavioral aspects of this. What's the impact of generations of new students who live in a world of five dimensions, not just three dimensions of space and time, but their cyber dimension that they bring with them to class and to their educational experiences and which they expect to have as part of their day-to-day life. And so I think that's the challenge for this group. And so we're in the process now of developing a strategic plan, an overarching strategic plan for the NIDRID program. We're doing that not just because the PCAS said it's important for the program to have that, but because of this notion that for global economic competitiveness, it's critical for the future of our country. And future, the word future holds in it an important piece of education. This is the piece with which you're familiar. And so a strategic plan of this type must include an education component. The other important reason for developing a strategic plan now is in a few months we will have a new administration arriving here in Washington, and many of them will be asking what are the opportunities for new initiatives that could be pursued, and I think we should be in position to offer ideas about that. And so, again, having important education initiatives to lay out on the table is critical for this time. So I hope this workshop is the first step in a process toward that. I hope a number of you will step forward and help us in the process of developing our strategic plan, in particular the education and training components of that. And here's my contact information, and thank you for your patience.
Thank you very much.